have an army. We have a Hulk.
Welcome to We Have a Hulk Pod, Marvel Mini, Episode 5. Happy New Year. I am your host, Nicola.
And I am your co-pilot, Chris.
And in this episode, the first of 2018, we're going to be looking back at the Best of Marvel 2017 in our award ceremony little thing.
We also have an interview with Luca de Oliveira.
From The Punisher, who was Donnie. So let's crack things off with our award ceremony.
Woohoo!
So much has happened since I last saw you. I lost my hammer. Like yesterday, so that's still pretty fresh.
And then I went on a journey of self-discovery.
She's like you. Very much like you.
I am not whatever it is you think I am.
She needs our help.
You're the Spider-Man.
No, I'm not. I'm not. This is just a costume. This is
from the ceiling.
If I touch someone, I can feel their feelings. You feel love.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, I feel a general unselfish love for just about everybody.
No. Sexual love.
No, I don't.
For her.
No.
She just told everyone your deepest, darkest secret.
Dude, come on. I think you're overreacting a little bit.
You must be so embarrassed. Do me.
Okay, so we asked you guys on Twitter what has been your favourite Marvel film from 2017. And thank you everyone for voting, because we had over 762 votes. So that is impressive. Wow. A lot of love for the Marvel films in this one, I think.
Definitely.
So we're going to do like little categories. So first one will be Best Picture, as voted by you guys on Twitter. So without further ado, with 37% of the votes is Logan.
Fair play.
Coming up second is with 30% is Thor Ragnarok.
Yep.
Third with 19% is Spider-Man Homecoming.
Interesting.
And coming in last with 14%, is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
That's interesting.
Yeah, okay. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that probably is about right for general things.
You know,
general kind of overview of what people like.
What would you pick? What would be your favourite?
My one that I put as my favourite is Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, I would have guessed that already.
Yeah, I did love it. I mean, I love Logan, but I think Logan is probably the better film out of all of them. Like, it's the most cinematic. It's got the most production value and everything like that. But I think just out of pure enjoyment and entertainment, I have to put Thor Ragnarok for me.
Okay, for me, I would put Logan, because it was such a fitting like send-off for such a great character. It was so emotional and so heartfelt and so sad, but so it looked amazing, and we finally got a great R-rated Logan, which was amazing to see.
Yeah, now if it had been any other year, Logan would have won it for me as well.
Okay.
I mean, just because, it's just some good films this year, wasn't it, really?
Yeah. So we got so much great feedback about the Marvel films. You guys obviously have so much feelings about them.
There's a lot of feels involved in these ones.
We're picking our favourite comments and feelings and passions. So kicking off, got to be our favourite king.
We've got
Bruno Baratheon. Yeah. So at Bruno Baratheon, she said, "Oh Lord, I need time to think." It was very tricky. And then she said, "I can't vote Logan. It was heartbreaking. I never want to feel like that again. So it's between the others."
I think that's fair.
I mean, coming out of that, I was just so emotional. And such an emotional wreck.
Yeah.
I mean, we watched it quite late, but even then, I just felt drained. It was amazing. Yeah. It was
a great film. You can't deny it. But at the same time, it's not necessarily an enjoyable watch, you know? So, yes, I agree.
Touché.
So Seb Reeves says, "I loved the 2017 Marvel movies, but for reasons such as the clips below, it has to be Thor for me." Yeah, so this is Thor and Korg.
Yeah.
And Meek.
Yeah.
I share this opinion. It was just so fun, this movie, that it had to be my top one.
Yeah. I mean, just Taika Waititi as Korg was just... Oh, he was like the runaway of the film, I thought.
I would like to see a Korg and Meek spin-off as well.
Yeah, that would be hilarious. And I just... Because I put a GIF response. And it was when they kept walking around the same place, didn't they? And he was like, "Piss off, ghost." So funny. Thank you very much, Seb. So Martin White at the Movie Nerd 86 said, "As much as I loved Logan, I have to go with Ragnarok, as it was just so much fun."
Agreed. Yes, I mean, that's pretty much my thoughts on this as well. So
thank you, Martin.
Marvel Madness Comics Podcast. I loved all three, but for me it was in between The Guardians and The Thor.
The Thor.
Sorry, I'm not reading this properly. I love the Guardians of the Galaxy movies that are my favourite Marvel movies, but Thor is one of my favourite Marvel characters, and I've always wanted to see a solo movie from him that I loved, and I got it this year.
That's really nice.
I think this was the best Thor movie, hands down.
Definitely. I mean, it's just such a new, like, refreshing take on Thor, I thought. They went on to say such a great movie, it had Jack Kirby all over it too. So that's really nice to say that, you know, one of your favourite sort of writers.
Right.
It just kind of really shined through. So yeah, really nice. So Jay Sandlin Writer at Jay Sandlin Writer said, "You can't really compare these others to Logan. All great films, but I barely recognise Logan as a superhero, X-Men or Marvel movie. It's just straight savage and awesome."
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't much superhero in this. It was It was much more down to earth than the others.
It felt so real and
And it was filmed much more like a, you know, an actual cinematic experience.
Yes.
As opposed to the others, which were meant to be sort of more comedy and less real.
Yeah.
You know?
Even though this was Wolverine who has adamantium claws and stuff, it did feel so real. And I mean, the way that he finally got to like go berserk and like just the amount of violence in this as well, it was quite shocking. I don't know if you felt like that.
Yeah, definitely. It was powerful.
It was very, very powerful. So great comment there, Jay Sandlin Writer.
Kelly Rich said, "Guardians and Thor were terrible. And Logan was arse, I didn't see it. So I guess I'll go with Homecoming, which was pretty good."
Ooh.
Wow, that's some pretty powerful
controversial
thoughts there.
Ooh.
Yeah, fair play. Yeah.
Another possibly controversial one is by Matthew Cook at Real Matt Cook, who said, "Not sure how in the hell Logan isn't winning by at least 30% more. Thor was so-so, Guardians 2 was a mess, Homecoming was very good, but nowhere near the level of Logan." Mm. I love all these different opinions.
Yeah, I mean, you know. You got all the opinions here.
Yeah.
Kevin said, "Was tough for me for Logan and Homecoming. Four low on my list. I thought it tried too hard to be silly, this being silly when wasn't appropriate."
Okay.
I'm not sure I read that right.
No, I think you did.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like Thor Ragnarok isn't for everyone.
No. Obviously. I mean, it's... It's intentionally silly, right?
Yeah.
In a lot of places. Very funny, I thought. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Hands up.
So thanks everyone again for voting, and I mean, I love all your comments, so just keep them going to our Twitter. So that's at We Have a Hawk Pod. So in category two we've got Best Director. So Chris, do you want to go first with your pick?
Best Director, I've put Taika Waititi.
Oh.
surprise.
Yeah. For me, I put the same for Thor Ragnarok, Taika Waititi, because he's just so funny.
He's just great. He's a great director, isn't he? He's a little bit different to what we've seen so far, which
definitely.
I think, again, is just really funny and really entertaining. So, yes, Taika Waititi.
Yes. For me, I just thought, I mean, and he played Korg as well.
Yeah.
How can you direct, play Korg, do everything else?
True.
And I mean, just his, like, press tours were just so funny. If anyone watched any of the interviews, they were just hilarious.
Yeah.
I thought he brought something completely different to Thor, which was great, because even Chris Hemsworth was like, "I kind of got bored of Thor," and then I read this script and was like, "Wow, this is actually really funny."
Yeah, I mean, I haven't loved the previous Thor films, so for me, this was like the first good Thor film, really.
Yeah. Okay, category three, we've got Best Lead Actor / Actress. Chris, what is your pick?
Okay, I've put Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, gotta be, right?
<Don't worry.
laughs> Yeah, I've put Hugh Jackman for Logan as well. I mean, he was just amazing. I really hope he wins an Oscar for this.
I think he should. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he deserves it. Yeah. I mean, how long has he been playing this part for? Must be over 15 years.
It's a long time, but I mean, this was something different, wasn't it? This was something special, I think, even in that regard.
I mean, it didn't feel like a generic superhero film.
No, exactly. Yeah. It felt much more gritty and real. And
yeah.
Yeah, which I like
And he was just amazing. I mean, it was such a good, as I said before, such a good send-off for him. And yeah, best Wolverine ever, I think.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, category four. We've got Best Actor / Actress in a Supporting Role.
I've put Patrick Stewart.
Okay, for Logan again?
Again.
Yeah.
It's just those two in that film were great, weren't they?
And yeah.
You also had like Daphne, but Patrick Stewart. I just love that guy. So
yeah,
you kind of had to go for him.
Yeah, I have put both of them. I'm gonna say I put Patrick Stewart's Professor X and Daphne Keener's X-23 because both of them together were just amazing.
Yes.
I mean, I very nearly put her, spoilers for another one, but I didn't.
Okay.
But yeah, she was amazing for this as her first massive role.
Yeah.
Which is phenomenal. And then she didn't really speak for most of it as well, which was amazing. Yeah. She was just so, like, ferocious and just funny as well. And very, like, especially at the end when they both connected and it was like, oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's like, Papa. And you're like, hey, how could you do this to me? But yeah, I thought Patrick Stewart was hilarious as well. I mean, hear him swear.
Yeah, I was like,
what?
Yeah. I like that. It was a bit of a different take on
It was a completely different take on Professor
X. He was just an old man in this one. Like, there was no sort of overtones of like
bells and whistles and stuff.
Yeah, there was no like superhero stuff going on. It was just boiled down to them being humans and
this is how they dealt with old age
and
and it was really sad.
Yeah.
But again, it was a great outfit for him as well. So
yeah, great performance and everything, yes.
So we've got category 5, best breakthrough. Who have you put then, Chris?
I don't really know about breakthroughs. I mean,
okay.
I guess Daphne Keene because she's new, right?
Yeah.
And also Tom Holland because he's kind of new, I guess.
Okay, but, I guess.
I mean, I've just put those because they're the only ones I could think of. So, what about you then?
Yeah, I put Tom Holland as Peter Parker for Spider-Man Homecoming because I would have put Daphne Keene, but I think she deserved best actor in supporting role.
Okay.
And I feel like Tom Holland deserves best breakthrough because he's just like perfect for Peter Parker.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked...
I feel like this was the first good Spider-Man film.
And I feel like he was like perfect for the role and he did it so well and he just sees it down to the T, I think. I mean, Spider-Man Homecoming was a little bit of a disappointment for me. I know everyone's going to be like, what? But he was the best thing about that film, him and the kids, and it was basically all about the characters, so...
Yeah, I did really like Spider-Man. I think the story was just a little bit too obvious.
Yeah.
Right?
That's fair enough.
Maybe. I can't remember what I actually said in my review.
I think you loved it
when he came out. I think I enjoyed it, yeah. Definitely.
Okay, next up we've got cinematography. So for me, I picked Thor Ragnarok.
Interesting. I picked Logan just because...
Oh, okay.
I feel like the actual cinematography and everything was higher standard on something like Logan, right?
Whereas, now you're saying that. Yeah.
Whereas like something like Thor Ragnarok, it wasn't all about the cinematography, right? It was about
true.
Kind of laugh and
okay,
everything.
Yeah.
I mean, it was good as well, you know. I'm just saying, like, they probably put more thought into something like Logan.
Yeah. And that's fair enough. I mean, and they did a black and white version, which I actually kind of wanted to see. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, fair play. Next up, we've got costume design.
Ragnarok.
Yeah, it's got to be. I mean, just looking at the Grandmaster's costume. I mean, they were all really great, I thought, the costumes and Ragnarok.
Just like little details to kind of make them pop a bit more and make them more interesting.
Mm.
I just said pop.
Pop.
That's a horrible thing to say. Being a designer, I never should have said that. But okay, yes.
I put Thor Ragnarok closely followed by Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Because I thought those were pretty good too. Okay, next up we've got Best Soundtrack.
Best Soundtrack? I can't really remember any. But probably Guardians because awesome mix, right?
Awesome Mix Volume 2. They do have some pretty good ones.
Yeah, what was the best one?
I have put Thor Ragnarok Soundtrack because it was an original soundtrack by Mark Mothersbaugh. Mothersbaugh? However you say that. It was really cool. It was very electro and 80s and like...
Sure, maybe. I remember soundtracks. I need to watch them again.
It would have to be closely followed by Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, though, because some of them were amazing.
Yeah.
Great choices.
I think first time round, I'm just sort of too into it. I don't really notice music. I feel it. I feel the music. I don't
really remember the music.
But then, like, on further watches, I might kind of pick up more detail.
Fair play. So next up, we have got Best Visual Effects.
Best visual effects, probably for Ragnarok, isn't it?
Oh, okay, interesting. Okay. I put Guardians of the Galaxy in Volume 2 for Baby Groot and Rocket Raccoon.
Okay.
Because I felt they were really good.
Yeah, I mean, those, Yeah, I mean, visual effects for me isn't necessarily like animated characters. It's not good visual effects.
Okay.
In my book. But I do like both of those, so yes. I felt like Thor Ragnarok had more kind of real and more prosthetics and stuff, maybe.
Yeah.
which I like.
Yeah, so, it had more built sets and didn't sets rely and too much on things, yeah, visual effects.
Which I appreciate quite a lot.
Fair play.
Yes.
Okay, so that was the film section of our awards. So now we've got TV. So we've had a bit of highs and lows this year with Marvel TV, I believe. So this year from Netflix, Marvel Netflix, we've had The Defenders, Iron Fist and The Punisher. And other TV, we've had Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Series 5, Runaways, Inhumans. And from the Fox side of things, the X-Men, we've had The Gifted and Legion. So let's kick it off with the award for Best TV Show of 2017.
Legion.
Yeah, I'm sorry, there's going to be one winner for this, yeah. Right?
I mean, out of all these shows, there's probably two good ones, I think.
Ooh.
Or maybe two and a half, okay. In my opinion. Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, I would say Legion, just because it's something quite different, something a bit new.
Yeah, definitely.
Lots of interesting effects and stuff.
Yeah.
Very mind-bending.
Mm. And the characters are amazing as well.
Yes.
And the performances. And yes. I love the retro vibe from it. Is it like 70s or
80s? Yeah, 70s.
I don't know. And it's just something we haven't seen before in superhero land, I feel.
Yeah.
It's just so like mind-bending and you don't know who to trust because it's all about like mental illness as well. And oh, it's just amazing. And it's really funny as well and also quite emotional at times, so
yeah,
I think and dark,
it's got lots of different kind of tones going throughout it,
yeah,
I think that was the runaway winner for me,
definitely. And I have put Legion closely followed by The Punisher,
yeah,
easy. Okay, award number two, best lead actor. Now, I think we might be split on this, possibly, but go for it.
I mean, it was split between two for me, but I would probably say Dan Stevens,
okay,
but John Bernthal was a close second.
I put it the other way around. I put John Bernthal as Frank Castle in The Punisher. Because you can't, I don't know if you can beat his performance. It's just so raw and emotional and, you know, it's just like a whole guttural screech. It's like, oh. I mean, he just really went into that role. And especially right at the end, spoiler to you, haven't seen it. But, you know, when he was, it just, the amount of times he nearly died and then came back. And then, and then when he was fighting his friend and it was just so, oh, he just blew me away, to be honest. Yeah. I also put closely followed by Dan Stevens for Legion.
Yes.
Because he was also amazing. And I can't wait for series two.
Yeah, can't wait.
So, award number three, best lead actress. This one's difficult, which shouldn't be a thing.
We didn't get many lead actresses
in these
shows. No,
it's a bit of a shame.
So maybe Kristen Ritter, Jessica Jones, but I mean, she was barely in it. So
I know, that was one of the problems for me
with
Defenders.
How do you give a lead actress award to someone that was barely in it? I also want to say, like, Aubrey Plaza, because I feel like she was in Legion more than Kristen Ritter.
Who did she play? Benny, was it?
Lenny.
Lenny. Yeah. Oh, that's close. Sorry. For me, I put Amber Rose River for The Punisher. I don't know if I said the last name correct, but she was the lead, like, operative on the case for Frank Castle. I thought she was really good.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not convinced.
We've got award number four, Best Supporting Character.
Yes. Okay, what did you do?
I put Aubrey Plaza for Legion, and also closely followed by Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones.
Interesting. I put Eben Moss Backrack.
Oh, for The Punisher, Micro.
Micro. Okay. David Lieberman.
Yeah.
David Lieberman.
Yeah.
I think he's great.
Yeah,
yeah, I just really loved his like whole thing and the whole hacker thing, but also like he's a family man and he's got lots of interesting kind of quirks and stuff. Yeah, I thought it was great.
I also liked that he was just like in a dressing gown
the
whole time.
Yeah, exactly. That was part of his quirks.
Yeah.
The whole pen thing on the keyboard and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay, fair play. So next up we got number five, Best Villain. Now this was actually quite difficult because there's been some very good villains, I think, in the Marvel TV shows.
Interesting.
So,
For me, it's probably Aubrey Plaza. I mean, spoilers, but
you should have seen Legion by now, guys. It's so good.
So she's kind of the Shadow King character, isn't she?
Yeah.
I thought that was great. And
great testaroo.
And also the guy in The Punisher was good as well, but he's like close second, I think.
Yeah. Okay. I have put Ben Barnes as Billy Russo / Jigsaw.
Yeah.
First, because for me, he was halfway through it, you didn't think he was the bad guy, and then you found out he was the one who pretty much orchestrated everything bad in Frank Castle's life.
Really, like, though? I mean,
he sold him out, and then because of that,
you didn't realize? I mean, I felt like it was obvious they were going in that direction. Did you not think that?
Well, I kind of wanted it not to be real, yeah, in a way. Maybe. So, yeah. And then, just finding out what he did and how close he was to the family. And then finding out that he did get them killed, basically. Yeah, it was like, wow. Yeah. And then when you finally found out, and then he finally turned, and it was like, oh, whoa, this guy is intense. Because I remember him in Westworld, Ben Barnes, and thinking he was really good. But then in this, he like notched his performance right up. And I'm intrigued to see it, because he actually finally turned into Jigsaw right at the end. Because him and his Frank Castle's fight, his face got all mashed up, didn't it? So he's finally going to turn into Jigsaw. So I'm wondering whether we're going to see him like full on bad guy in the next one, which is intriguing. But following that, I've put The Shadow King in Legion, because again, very, very good.
I mean, I just really like the kind of how that character kind of developed. Like you see The Shadow King occasionally, but you don't really get a good glimpse of what it is. You see it, but you don't know how it works and stuff, and it kind of, as it goes along, it kind of gives you little bits of information about it.
Yeah.
And you find out that Lenny is connected to it and stuff, and things happen. It's great. Yeah, I really like the development of that character.
I liked the way they kind of explained it as well. Do you remember that scene where it was him, Dan Stevens, and Dan Stevens as English Dan Stevens?
Oh, yeah.
And it was with the board, and they were like describing about his dad, and then him going against the shadow. I thought that was really good.
That was really great,
He's just such a clever show. Very so, clever. The way they revealed it was just amazing. And next up, and our last award, goes to Best Guest Appearance. Now, for me, this only has to be one person, I believe. So, for me, Jermaine Clement for Legion.
That's interesting, yeah, because I wasn't sure, like, who can be a guest, because, I mean, a lot of the people we're talking about on these shows have a recurring role, don't they? So do they count as guests?
Well, I guess so. I mean, you got the lady from The Hand in...
Yeah, well, those are the two I've put as
well. Oh, okay.
So Jermaine Clement as Oliver and Sigourney Weaver in The Defenders.
Oh, Sigourney Weaver, okay.
Is that who you meant?
No, I meant the Hand lady who was in Daredevil.
Madame Gao.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah. I mean, she's a recurring character, isn't she? She's not really a guest.
Fair enough.
Although she would make make a good villain as well.
Yeah.
So I quite like Madame Gao, but she wasn't as good in this series.
No, I feel like they kind of broke her in Iron Fist.
They took her power away and made her kind of just like an old lady.
A normal old lady. Yeah, who kind of got picked on by the new Hand.
Yeah.
It was really sad. Jermaine Clement was just fabulous in the Legion.
Yeah, I have to agree, So I would also give it to Jermaine Clement then. Cool.
Okay, so let us know if we were right or wrong, and who would you give all the awards to? So coming up in 2018, we've got so many Marvel films and also Marvel/Fox films, because they're now kind of owning each other, I guess. So Disney's empire, shall we say.
Yeah.
So coming up, we've got Avengers Infinity War. First off, we've got Black Panther, actually, in February.
Okay. Yeah.
Pretty excited about that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah, okay.
We've got Deadpool 2. We've got Venom, starring Tom Hardy.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which is the animated one.
Okay.
We've also got New Mutants as well, which looks pretty interesting, and Dark Phoenix. So
I'm definitely excited about four or five of these. So,
okay, so coming
which
up,
is most of them.
Which would you say is your most anticipated film?
Infinity War. It's
going to be a monster of a film.
But I'm really looking forward to Black Panther.
Yes.
I want to see what they do with that.
Yeah, definitely.
I loved Ant-Man, so I'm excited for another one of those. Deadpool 2, Deadpool.
It's going to be amazing. We've got Cable in there as well.
Yeah, and then, I'll be interested to see what they do with that. So, I think it's going
to
be good.
I think also New Mutants, I'm really intrigued to see. Like a new take on the X-Men.
Okay, sure.
Because it's kind of going down the horror kind of... I'm getting a big horror vibe from it, so...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about that, so I'll be interested to see.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see what happens with that. Yeah, sure.
I'm also very intrigued to see what Disney buying Fox is going to have in store for the X-Men.
Yeah.
Because there's quite a lot of X-Men films like in the slate, like upcoming, but I mean, are they going to be changed? Because we've got Gambit, that's a big one. There was going to be a spin-off with X-23. I'm not sure whether that's going to happen now. I'm very, very intrigued to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, we might start to see some good X-Men films.
Oh,
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, but I'm a bit worried that these X-Men characters are just going to start popping up in like random movies. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Oh, like, hi, Mark.
Like the whole Deadpool thing where there was two of them, and but they didn't have the rights to any others. That was kind of funny. I mean, I don't mind them showing up in Deadpool. I think that's fine. But if they start showing up in like. Like Avengers films and stuff like that. I'm not sure.
I feel like they're going to have to tease it. I mean, when are they going to bring it into the Avengers?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
I think they...
I don't want it.
I think they've done Avengers Infinity War already, haven't they? Yeah. Unless they tack it on to like a post-credit scene and they have like, I don't know, Wolverine's costume.
They could have little like...
A little
cameos
wink.
Or something. Yeah, little wink-wink, little nudge. Little nudge-nudge, yeah. You know? But, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I really want to see Fantastic Four, though. Much rather see them than X-Men crossover. Yeah, so, sure. I mean, Doctor Doom, he's such a good villain. Can't wait to see him with the Avengers. If that'll ever happen.
Okay.
But for me, that would be amazing. So Netflix TV-wise, we've got Jessica Jones Series 2, Luke Cage Series 2, and Daredevil Series 3.
Woo!
So I'm really excited for all those. I mean, Luke Cage wasn't really that high up
I'm
for
not
us last time.
For Luke Cage.
But we have got Misty Knight in this one. I mean, she was in it.
Yeah, she was in the last one.
But she's got her bionic arm, which looks pretty interesting.
I mean, I want to see him do something a bit more interesting with it, because I just felt
also,
I was bored the whole time.
Danny Rand's in it a little bit. So we've maybe got like the Heroes for Hire starting up in Luke Cage. So I'm willing to give this one more of a shot than the last one. I know that's probably quite controversial.
Listen, guys, I'll give you one or two episodes. But if you can't grab me in those episodes, I'm out.
Right.
Sorry.
We've got Daredevil Series 3 and we've got Kingpin back. So
yes.
Vincent of
Fisk.
Yeah. Kingpin / Fisk. So the guy who plays it is Vincent
D'Onofrio. D'Onofrio?
I'm so sorry. He's so good though. So he's back and we've possibly got the Born Again storyline, which is really interesting if you read it.
I'm not
going to say anything else. So this will definitely follow on from The Defenders. So what happened at the end of The Defenders? Wink, wink. But most excited for me, Jessica Jones Series 2, because she is, for me, I think the best character out of all of these.
Yes. I agree.
And looking at we haven't had much in the way of like anything from it. We've had one trailer, I think. But we're going to see her sort of finding out about her origins and where her power came from. Which normally you're a bit like, oh, origins, right?
Yeah.
But this is kind of interesting because you don't really know much about her power at all, do you? So it's not going to be like Spider-Man and like Uncle Ben or thing. I think it's going to be much more interesting. And it seems like she was kind of an experiment, I think.
Okay.
But I don't know. I haven't really gone much into the comics. Too much. So I'm sorry if that was wrong. But yeah, they're pretty much the ones that I'm super excited about. I don't know about you.
Yeah, Jessica Jones for sure and Daredevil.
Yeah.
For me. What else we got? We got any more? We got more Legion coming up or anything?
Yes, Legion Series 2. How did I forget that?
Excited.
I think that's coming March time.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, the whole cliffhanger of the first series. I mean, because he was caught, wasn't he?
He was caught. What happened?
Did he get put into like a little ball thing?
Oh, I can't remember.
And then Lenny was like, she got put into another body or something. Something along those lines.
Into another person or something.
Yeah,
because the Shadow King can do that, I guess.
So very, very intriguing. We've also got the finale of The Gifted. I know you're not a huge fan, but for me, it's very true to the X-Men, and I know you're not a huge X-Men fan.
Yeah.
But for anyone who likes X-Men, this is amazing because they've had some amazing characters in this. Like the Cuckoo Sisters have been in there, and it's like what? And we've got Fenric, so the twins. And it's just been really, really good. And yeah, kind of intrigued to see how they're going to round this off.
No, no, fair play.
And I think that's pretty much everything in the way. I think we've got, obviously, Runaways will conclude in this year.
Right.
So I'm intrigued to see whether they're actually going to run away soon.
Yeah. Have I watched all of that?
We need to catch up.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, let us know what you're really interested in, what your top, like, five are. And yeah, on to the interview. Joining us this week as our special guest is Luca de Oliveira as Donny Chavez from The Punisher.
Yes.
So you recognise him from the first couple of episodes, and he's basically the guy that's caused all of this mess, right?
Really? How
yeah,
did he cause
he was the one who basically brought Frank Castle back into it.
Right,
if you remember.
Back into the fold. He was just trying to be a normal guy.
I know.
Just trying to throw a sledgehammer at a wall repeatedly. Yeah. Okay.
And then Donnie comes along.
This guy comes along. Ruins everything. Yeah, fair play.
Yeah. He was very good. I thought he was definitely one of the standouts in the first couple of episodes, though. And it would be great to see him come back. I mean, it would be quite cool. Because, I mean, it left it quite open, I felt.
Sure.
And I did really like that concrete scene. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was
cool. But just, I mean, the mess that Frank Castle made. And he was like, don't you mess with Donnie.
Yeah, exactly.
You could tell, like, he really was like, oh, shan't I, though?
Yeah, yeah.
But, oh, poor Frank. Anyway, this will be full of spoilers for Series 1 of The Punisher. So if you haven't watched it yet, what's wrong with you? Mm. Guys, come on.
Come on, guys. Come on.
So once again, full of spoilers, but really hope you enjoy this one. So thank you very much to Luca for joining us. So welcome, Luca, aka Dolly Chavez from The Punisher. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Have you managed to catch The Punisher since it's been out?
I haven't watched the whole thing yet. I've kind of only skipped to my scenes to make sure I wasn't awful, and then watched like one more episode, and then turned it off and tried not to look at it too much.
Right, so first question. So what was your actual reaction when you found out you're going to be in The Punisher? Because that's pretty huge, right?
Yeah, it was a huge shock. Well, they had a certain code name for the casting, so I honestly had no idea I was even auditioning for it until they booked me for the role. And when I found out that it was part of the Marvel Universe and that it was actually The Punisher, I was kind of just in shock and waiting till the first day of shoot to actually believe that it was all happening. once I went to the table read and like got the script, it started to feel a little more real. And then from there, it was I guess it was just a really long dream.
Do you have to pinch yourself every time you're on set?
Yeah. Like every morning I would just make sure I was actually conscious and not asleep and about to wake up from that.
So were you actually told anything about the character when you auditioned for the role at all, or was it all really hush-hush?
They gave me like some sort of like a quick character breakdown, and they just kind of left it up to me to create it myself, like being an ex-con and working on this construction site, and how I never met Frank before, but I was just trying to reach out to him and find someone. I was a lot more of a loner in the story of the show. So it was really up to me to just kind of create this character the way I saw fit in terms of the storyline that I was going to, I guess, set Frank up for and like bring him back into his world of killing. So it was really just kind of left in my hands. And I was so lucky that they trusted me with that to develop the character in the way I saw fit, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you read the script, were you like, no, why do you go back to into like the gang again? And
yeah, they only gave me the scripts for 101 and 102 because that's what we covered at the table read. So for me, I like had no idea if they were going to bring me back or not, or what their plans were. But the good thing is that they did not kill me. They did not kill me off. I escaped. Yeah. So there's always a possibility to come back in the future should they see it fit the story.
That is a good point.
Yeah.
So you had that fantastic scene right at the end of the episode where the gang kind of turned on you because obviously you dropped your wallet. So you kind of gave the gang away. How long did it take to film that scene? Because it was amazing.
The cement scene or like everything leading up to that?
Yeah,
like that whole night
scene. That was crazy.
Oh, that scene we shot, the half of it was shot on set, and then the other half was shot in a studio to connect what my stunt double did and what I did. I primarily did all of my own stunts with the permission of the stunt team, but there was the one fall that my stunt double did that they would not let me do because it was like 3 to 5 stories in the air into a small pit of cardboard boxes. So I opted out on that one, but all the other physical stuff I did, just cause I found it so fun. But I honestly shot over the course of like about a month and a half or a month or so. And we shot the beginning of that cement scene, like my first day on set. It was like the first thing we did. And then the very end of it all, we shot again, at the end of my shoot dates. So it was kind of like all over the place, but for the most part, that last scene is what we shot first, like the cement, the escape, the fights, and all that.
Yeah, well, that's confusing.
Yeah, it was a little confusing, but it kind of worked out well because it was like, I guess, the hardest work I had to do in terms of my character. So we kind of like got it out of the way, which I kind of loved. It kind of just hit the ground running.
True. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, did you actually have to go in like a cement style thing, or was it just goop? Or
oh no, it was not real cement, but it was a mixture of tempura paint, cork, and cardboard. And it was real gooky. It mimics cement real well. And it was also about 25 to 30 degrees at night. So we were all struggling out in the cold trying to get this scene to happen.
Nice. How long did you have to stay in there for?
It depends. Like the day that we shot on set, it was kind of a longer night. They needed to shoot it from high up. They needed to get inside the pit with me. Like, I spent a good amount of time in there. And then the day of the studio, I was like in the pit the whole day. It was like hours in this pit, coming in and out, like staying by a heater and then jumping back in. Like they really put me through it. But I think it helped me like bring out what I needed to in those scenes.
Yeah, definitely. So do you feel responsible for bringing the Punisher back into his, you know, killing ways and stuff? Is it all your fault, do you think?
I think it might have been. I think had I not bothered the poor guy on the roof, he wouldn't have cared about me enough to come back and help me, you know? It was a really nice role to see how much I impacted his decision of like, all right, I'm going to get back into the killing game because of this guy. So, I think if it weren't for me, I think he'd still be trying to avoid these guys in his like regular job.
I mean, it was all because of those sandwiches, wasn't it? What did you make in those sandwiches?
All because of those sandwiches. Yeah. I don't know. He must have loved the sandwich.
Yeah. So the big question is, do you think we'll see Donnie again?
Oh man, I don't know. I would love to come back. You know, I'm sure it would be so great to come back as Donnie and see how him and Frank can get along some more. I haven't heard anything about a second season yet. And I haven't heard about Donnie, but the opportunity is open. The door is there. I think it's just a matter of if they're gonna bring me back or not.
Yeah, fingers crossed. It'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, fingers crossed. It'd be great. You know, he's a fun character.
So what was it like working with John Bernthal?
It was great. It was honestly just such a great experience to work with him. He is so casual and so professional at the same time. He really treated me as just a fellow actor and not like a subordinate or like a lesser than actor. And it was really nice to be able to work with him and see what worked best in these scenes, how the fights can look better, like how we should like respond and react to each other. He really trusted me to just do what I thought see fit, and it worked out really well. I think me and him have a kind of similar way of approaching material that made it just all the more rewarding to feel comfortable in my first experience on like a big name project with a big name actor, you know?
Yeah.
So it was great. It was such a gift.
Yeah. And you know, he spent so much time like whacking that wall. How long did he actually have to do that for?
They shot it in a bunch of different ways, you know, depending on like what state the wall was in. So I'm pretty sure he spent probably like an hour or so like on and off hitting that wall and yeah, he really put in the work. And then he would also have workouts in between, like him and some of the stunt crew would go off like before lunch or after lunch break or in between takes and just like get a quick workout in. So he was like working pretty nonstop.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you pick up any like tips from him at all? Did he show you any moves or anything?
Oh, he gave me a lot of tips in terms of like my acting and like where my life should go and like what I want for myself. When it came to the fighting, we kind of just all worked together. We were all kind of learning at the same time and like just feeding off each other to see like what would work, what didn't, like where the camera should be, where we should be. So it was kind of a nice process for all of us because we really stuck together to make it just the best it could be, you know?
Yeah, and it came off really well, so yeah, it definitely worked.
Oh, good, good.
So do you have any funny moments from set you can tell us about? Any stories or anything?
Funny moments from set. I guess the funniest moments on set were when I had to change in and out of my wetsuit. I had to wear a skin tone wetsuit underneath my costume when I did the cement scenes, and in between sets and in between takes, I would take my clothing off and walk around in my skin tone wetsuit looking like a doll waiting for my clothing to dry or wearing the new clothing. So I think that was probably the funniest part, like walking around set and from the hair and makeup to set in my onesie in the freezing cold. I think that was probably the funniest thing that happened.
Yeah. Surrounded by big guys as well.
surrounded by a bunch of construction guys in the cold with people everywhere. Yeah, it was definitely a moment to remember.
Yeah. So other than The Punisher, what would you say your favorite Marvel Netflix show is?
I'm a huge fan of Luke Cage, honestly. When they came out with that, it was great. And also Iron Fist too. Those were probably my two top favorites. I just love the action sequences and at least with Luke Cage, the ability to relate it to real life. And
yeah,
Iron Fist is just awesome, just so badass, you know. So I think Marvel's just gonna keep exceeding our expectations with these cool, easy to watch shows.
Did you see Daredevil series 2 with John in?
I did see Daredevil 2. I watched both of them just to do some homework before we started shooting. The second season of Daredevil was one of my favorite shows to watch. I binged that. I watched it through and through in 2 days.
Yeah, it's so easy to binge.
So easy to binge, and John is just so perfect for the Punisher. He does such a good job playing Frank Castle, and it's so cool to see the Punisher's role get revamped and brought back into the universe.
Yeah,
I think people are going to be really happy to see him be such a badass in this first season.
So next for Marvel, is there any of the characters you love to see bring into the Marvel Netflix shows?
I don't know. I'm kind of just open to see what they're gonna do. I was never I other than the superheroes that we all already know of, I don't really know any of the other ones, but I can't imagine that they don't have just a plethora of characters to pick and choose from that they want to develop. I think this next year is going to be full of content, and it's just really exciting to see what other superheroes they're going to bring back to life, you know?
Definitely, yeah. So are you working on anything else at the moment we can look forward to seeing you in?
Not at the moment. I've been following the premiere of The Punisher. I got approached by management and casting director. So I've actually been out in LA for this first week, just meeting with producers and casting directors and just trying to find the next job. So hopefully something happens soon, so that I can follow up on The Punisher. But for now, I'm just kind of taking meetings and I guess turning the page in my career. Since I'm getting a shocking amount of attention from this episode, but it's so nice to see people are reacting to the character I created. I think that's the most rewarding part.
Definitely. I'm sure something will be around the corner after this, because The Punisher is huge, so it's such a good break for you.
Thank you so much. I hope so, man. It would be so nice. Now that this came out and revamps your need to work, you know, so all I need now is just the content and material, stuff to chew on, stuff to read, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So fingers crossed for you.
Thank you so much.
That's all right. So thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was so nice speaking with you about my experience.
It's great, and everyone is loving The Punisher so far, so fantastic job.
Oh, I'm so glad people are liking it. Hopefully people root for Donnie in the future.
Yeah. All right, thank you. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
You too. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
So thanks so much for listening to this Marvel Mini Episode 5, guys. Really hope you enjoyed our awards ceremony and also our interview. If you'd like to get into contact with us to let us know what your favourite picks were, how do they go about doing that then, Chris?
You can contact us on the Twitter, the Facebook, and the Instagram / We Have a Hulk
Pod.
Yes.
Well,
and we're also on YouTube / We Have a Hulk.
Yeah.
Anywhere else? Email?
Email, yeah.
We have a hulkpod at gmail.com.
Indeed. And if you want to read any reviews or read some news articles or anything or comic book reviews, then you can head over to our website at wehaveahulk.co.uk.
Woohoo!
So, next up, it will probably be the biggest one, Black Panther.
Yes.
Super excited for that one. And if you want to kind of follow us to Infinity War, we're kind of watching them again.
We've watched Iron Man, so yeah. We started.
Yeah, so basically what you have to do is start in 2018 and watch one every week, and that will be the road to Infinity War.
Sure.
So you'll be able to watch them all there. So we're basically maybe skipping a few.
Probably skipping a couple.
Yes, but we did really enjoy watching Iron Man again, didn't we?
I mean, it's one of my favourite ones still, so yeah. And it started the whole thing off really, didn't it? So yeah.
Good really one. Like it's that. Good one. Very good one to start with. So happy 2018 once again. Happy New Year. And thank you once again for listening.
Yeah. Catch you in the next one.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been a production of the GWW Radio Network. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Also, check out Geeks Worldwide at thegww.com for all the latest news, reviews, and opinions on video games, comics, movies, TV, cosplay, and more. Geeks Assemble!